so glad to be here. How many of you enjoyed Jeff's teaching last week? I watched. You know I watched you. It was really good. Tell me one point that you got from it that you remember. Oh. Big foundation. Is that important? All right. That's good. Okay. And, of course, Beth did Wednesday night. How many of you went to Wednesday night prophetic training? Okay. You got good stuff from that? Okay. So I wanted to thank them and all of the team, the people that don't ever get noticed from the front, including the cleaners, the people in the back, thank you, Susie Alter, the people on the video, the people on the media, the people that clean the church, the people that welcome you, the ushers, and all the people that come, okay? And the reason why I said that isn't just because I wanted to make a commercial. I wanted to tell you that we're a team, and that without the team, things would not happen. I have freedom to go get what I need, to go receive so I can come back and give it to you. And you guys can receive from different voices. And I believe that this is what God is doing in the church, is he is raising up people to be a part at a different level. Now, if you want to be somebody who wants to be raised up at a different level, there is ways to do that. But, and that's a whole nother sermon, but I'm going to tell you, we have a great team here at Liberty. Amen? Okay, so before I do anything else, I knew that today was going to be different. I knew that we have to interact. I want you to stand up because I'm going to bless you. So right now, I release the blessing upon you. That God is a God of relationship. He is a God that is causing teamwork to come forth in the body of Christ. I thank you that you have joined the heart and the vision of Liberty, and I bless you in the name of the Lord. The wind of the Spirit is blowing in this house, and for those who are willing to receive it, it is blowing not just in you, but within you to blow out of you. And so I call you forth into new dimensions, into new levels, and I thank you, Father, that you are watching over this word to make sure that it is performed. I thank you, Lord, for all of the people that have gifts inside of them, even the ones that got activated today. We seal it with your Holy Spirit promise, and we thank you, it is just the beginning of them coming alive and who they really are in you. I call forth the DNA of God that has been lying dormant inside of you, and I call it into active service right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Woo. Okay, welcome to church. So, I've been teaching on a series of discipleship, and this is going to be part three, except for I'm not going to do it alone. So I am going to set the groundwork for you. And so every leader, let me just say this, every person who's going to lead, and that doesn't mean every leader that has a title. Titles don't mean a lot to God. It's how you serve him that means a lot to God. It's how you serve others that mean a lot to God. And so if you're looking for some kind of little tag to prove who you are, you aren't who you are yet. Wow, that's a good point. Okay, so so every leader, however, needs a mentor. Every leader needs to have a model of someone who has sold out completely, who they can watch, and no matter how hard they watch them, they might see some things that look like, oh, they're not perfected in that yet, and that could be true. But they're also going to see qualities that have occurred in their life because they have followed hard after God, and so hard that they care about mentoring you. And so people have no idea what it costs to stay in a position of authority. When God places you in a position, he anoints you for the position, but with that comes a lot of responsibility. And with it comes usually a lot of heartache. Now, nobody loves that part. But, you know, the Bible, we have to get hardened to the difficulties. We've got to get hard to the difficulties and sweet in the spirit. Just able to, so you fall down. The Bible says you fall down 7, you get up 8. It doesn't mean you're never going to fall down. It means that person that's watching you is going to see you fall down, but they're going to see you get up the 8th time. And when you get up the 8th time, you're going to be meaner than you've ever been against the enemy. Amen? Okay, so Paul was one of those people that helped mentor Timothy. And I'm just going to mention him, and we're going to get into the depth of this. But in Paul's first letter to Timothy, he addresses him as my son in the faith. 1 Timothy 1:2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Grace, this is what he spoke over him, mercy and peace. He was making a declaration into Timothy, his son. He wasn't just writing words. He was saying, this is what I am sending to you right now. Not a letter, not something written. I'm sending you grace. I'm sending you mercy. I'm sending you peace. And it's coming from God. Amen? So everyone needs the peer that will keep you on track and encourage you and release the truth into your spirit, not only just into the natural. You can come here every week and you can take notes and you can hear what I'm saying. But if you don't receive the impartation of what God is offering you, you will fall short of what was really all here for you to have. Amen? Okay, so then Paul is encouraging Timothy because he says, now that I have poured into you, I want you to do something. So 2 Timothy, now we're into 2 Timothy. 2:2, he says, you have heard me teach things, and not only have I taught them, but they've been confirmed by reliable witnesses. Reliable witnesses. Now, you, Timothy, you take what I've taught you, and you teach it to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. You know how we say from generation to generation to generation to generation? Why do you think we're still here? Because that scripture is being confirmed in our lives right now. Because what Paul spoke into Timothy changed Timothy's life, and he changed the next life, who changed the next life, who changed the next life, who changed the next life, until we were touched, and now we're changing lives. Amen? And that happens to be the vision of this church, by the way, P.S. So, in order to be mentored and to mentor effectively, you have to recognize the importance of these relationships. And you have to adjust whatever is necessary in your heart to be able to interact with these relationships. You have to become mature. Say mature. Look at somebody and say, you better get mature. Don't enjoy that too much. So now, this is what Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:10 and 11. You have fully known my doctrine. You know that what that means? That means that he didn't back up on what he believed to try to be friends with Timothy. He didn't say, oh, that's not relevant to you because you're younger than me. Well, let me just not say it so hard because I want you to hear my voice. Paul got in his face. He is his mentor. He's not going to mince words with him. He's like, you know full well what my doctrine is. And not only do you know what my doctrine is, you know how I live my life. You've been around me enough to know how I'm living. You know that I live with something more than just whatever is coming on my way. I'm living with purpose. I'm exercising my faith. I've had to exercise long suffering. I have suffered long. I'm exercising charity. I'm using that love that God gave me, and I have patience in my life, and you've seen it, and the persecutions that I've come under. He's like, I'm not painting an easy picture for you, Timothy. I'm painting a reality picture to you. You're a servant of the Most High God, and just like everything you own belongs to God in the monetary realm, everything you are belongs to God. And all you're doing is being used as a vessel to honor him and to raise up his name. That was the next verse. Okay. Persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. A lot. You know the life of Paul, I hope. But out of them all, say all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, hallelujah. And so he's mentoring him, and he's saying, you may have to face some things, but I can make a promise to you. God will deliver you out of whatever you face because you're serving him. When you're sold out, he's sold out. Amen? So you probably heard people say that Christianity is one generation away from extinction. And it would be, unless there's Paul's and Timothy's. Amen? But we have them. Okay. Then I'm going to skip to Romans 16:21. And this is what he says, and it's so beautiful to my ears. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends you his greetings. Now he is taking Timothy, his son, and he is saying, now you're my co-laborer. You got it. You have grown. You have matured. You're a co-laborer now. You can do everything I can do. You can face everything that I can face. I can trust you. I can trust you, and God is going to use you. Hallelujah. And so I have seen what has happened to the people of this ministry that stayed steadfast, that were faithful to what God is saying and doing through this house. And one of those people, well, two of those people, are Steve and Janice. Amen. And that's why they're up here today. Because when they came in, they've given their testimony, so you know, they were a mess. But they weren't a mess for very long. And you know why? Because they came in with hearts that needed to be healed, but they didn't try to shield themselves away from the healing. Now, you may think that's not a big deal, but if you try to be, you know, I'm all that and a bag of chips in the spirit in front of people, and you have a broken heart, you can sit there until you die with a broken heart and never get healed. And it's not because the healing of God is not in the house. It's not because there wasn't a mentor here to help you. It wasn't because prayer wasn't available for you. It was because you were too big in your own self, holding hold of your pride, that you're still walking around hurting and in pieces because you haven't availed yourself of what was available. But they did. Okay, and I can remember they came into my office, and for a long time, Steve had just shoved his emotions down. Sorry, Steve, I'm telling on you. Shoved his emotions down inside, and I'm just talking, and he starts crying. He goes, "What is happening to me?" And I said, "Welcome to Liberty." No, I said, this is part of the breakthrough. The part of where God grabs a hold of your heart and your resistance breaks. Because God has plans for you. Amen? And so they just went away. My next part of my discipleship training was I was going to teach you about Paul and Barnabas and Timothy. And then they took the juniors and the seniors away for a weekend. And guess what they taught on? I didn't tell them to teach my sermon. they told me what they're going to do, and I go, you just saved me a whole lot of time, because I was going to teach this, and then they took away the people who are the next generation that's going to affect the next generation. However, they're going into those scary places called the future. And they took them away so that they would be solid in their foundation, so that they would actually have an understanding of what it is that they would have to face, so that they would understand that it's not what you think it is. It's never what you think it is. It's a lot more. And if your foundation is not secure, and I hope last week helped you too, then you can fall off of that foundation and into a pit. The world is after the next generations. He's after you too, though. I don't care what age you are. He's still after you. Amen? So I want you to know that we didn't rehearse this. We just know what God wants to do. And this is the way it's going to go. Steve and Janice is free to jump in anytime she wants. But Steve is going to teach what they taught. And whenever the Holy Spirit highlights anything, we're going to move in the Spirit. You guys may have to interact just like you did earlier, or differently. Because here's why. Now you're going to say, well, you went away to that prophetic place and they did that. They did not do this. But what they did was make me center on what are we supposed to do different. Because the church is not a body of people that come in and sit in a chair and take notes and go out the doors and do nothing. All out. That is still where we are this year. We're never going to be capable of being who God has called us to be if we can't go all out on the inside before we go all out on the outside. The reason why people are getting healed and set free, some of them, are because they're putting in the time necessary to come to Wednesday night class. And so when they are ready this week, all you people who have been coming, and nobody else gets to come this Wednesday except for the ones that have already been there, we're going to do all activations. You're going to hear from God. You're going to, well, yeah, you can come, but we're going to prophesy to you. You don't get to prophesy yet. Because here's the deal. You got to put in your time. You got to say, this means something to me. I'm going to receive from the mentors. I'm going to receive from the teachers. I'm going to receive from those who know what they're doing. I'm going to receive from those that are depositing into my spirit so that I can become who God has asked me to become. And so there is a blessing that comes with obedience. Amen? So Steve and Janice have attended classes. They have come to my office. I have called them in. They have requested to be in my office. They have gleaned off of the other leaders. They have sat with the elders. They have received from the people that are Libertyites, so to speak. And they have taken it on the inside, but they've also studied the word. They've cried for these kids. They've prayed for what they're supposed to do. They've got the knowledge of God, and they've released it to the next generation. You could give a hand clap to that. That was good. So we are going to interact today because I want all of you to be able to do this. Whether it's behind this pulpit or somewhere else, we should all be activated and we should know what we're talking about. We should have something that is the fire inside of us that compels us to pour into someone else around us. And so I'm not stealing Steve's thunder. Come. Expect me to interrupt. Yes.
Repeatedly, I just keep playing John chapter 9 and keep talking about John chapter 9 to the point that somebody, I won't mention any names, was like, Mr. Steve, are we doing this again? And I was like, hey, have you guys followed the instructions of John chapter 9? Very few people raised their hands. I said, so why should I get off of it? God's not making me move until, you know, you guys start moving in the word. You know, why give you more to eat if you can't even chew this up? But that's not what I want to tell you. What I want to tell you was that at the end of that chapter, John chapter 9 talks about the blind guy. Do you know the guy who he like spit on dirt and made into mud and put in his eye? So that's what that chapter is about. And it was a whole big ordeal. And in youth, we actually play the scripture. So you can actually hear the scripture, and they're following along in their Bible. And they find it humorous because it's kind of funny because the reading of the word is an enactment. It's like a person is acting, you know, like in real life. So it's very funny in some parts. So they remember it. But at the end of that chapter, Jesus says something about that he came for the blind, right? If you're blind, he's going to help you see. But if you can see, you know, he's going to make you blind. And the Pharisees like, what are you saying now? We're blind? And, you know, there's a whole discourse there. But how it pertains to this is Pastor Don said that when we came, I feel trapped behind the pulpit. I'm sorry, guys. But when we came, you want it? Oh, okay, I'll move here. Cool. When we came, we were broken. And Pastor Don is not giving you a good picture. I mean, we were broken. I'm not a crier. When I came, I was hard. You know, I mean, I don't think the last time I cried, I might have been 19 years old, and I was mad at my brother. I was really, really mad at him. It was rage, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I think I cried. You know, maybe even 18. But, I mean, that was the kind of tears I shed. But being around Pastor Don, being around Beth and Charlie, Jeff, you know, the crew, oh, my goodness, man. It's like she said. I was like, what's going on? I mean, one time Beth called me on the phone. True story. She called me on the phone, and she was talking to us about going to a retreat, which I had already said I ain't going to no retreat. So Beth took it upon herself to call me. And when she called, she's talking to me, and she's being so loving. And so, I mean, seriously, she's being loving and kind and just being nice to me on the phone. And the whole purpose for her calling me is for me to go to this retreat. And before I knew it, you know, she's talking, I'm not saying a word, tears are falling down my eyes. I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. I'm telling her on the phone, I don't even know what's going on. I haven't said a word, and I'm crying. Would you talking to me on the phone? And you know, they explained to me in the spirit and how things work. But I was being broken, and I even realized it. But here's the point I'm trying to make to you. I was blind, and I knew that I was blind. I was blind, and I knew that I was blind. And because of that, I can see. There's some blind folks in here today. And you have to be willing to accept the fact that you're blind if you want to be made whole. Amen? That's free of charge. No extra. I mean, just take it as you want. Proverbs chapter 1. Please, everyone turn to Proverbs chapter 1. So, God laid in our hearts, Janice and I heart, like we had something planned for this weekend for all the youth. But then as the summer wore on, God impressed upon us that we needed to take the seniors out. And then ultimately the seniors and juniors. Because there was something that he wanted to deliver to them. And after Pastor Don heard what we were doing, she was like, wow, please, can you share this? And so I'm just going to share with you what we shared with them, okay? And so we went into this weekend with fasting and prayer. We followed Pastor Don's model, and gave them like our version of fasting guide, very, very small, but still, we gave them reading to do, and we went into the week just praying, getting in the word and fasting and doing a little bit of worship so that when we got to there, God could move, and he did move. But most of the reading that we did was in Proverbs, and it was the first few chapters of Proverbs. Now, if you guys don't know about Proverbs, Proverbs is out of three books in the Bible, it's one of the wisdom books. It's about wisdom. It's imparting wisdom to the reader, okay? And over again, it's just being reclaim that it's about wisdom. And there's this one scripture in chapter 1 that one of the students, when we did our fellowship time, said this scripture was highlighted to them. And it's like, you know, I was like, you know what? It's interesting that this scripture is highlighted to you, you know? And I want to read it to you guys because I wanted to highlight, I want to highlight it to you. I think it's something that God wants you to see. Starting in verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I have called you, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel. And would you have none of my rebuke? I also will I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore shall I eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But, I love this, but whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. This is wisdom. This is in the Bible. And today, and it's funny because the person who brought this up said, man, wisdom is laughing at us? What? Wisdom is laughing at us? Yeah, can you imagine? And it says, I want you to picture it. Picture, I don't know, like Sawgrass Mills. You know what I'm saying? Picture the big, wide hallways of Sawgrass Mills and wisdom standing up there. Come! I'm wisdom! I got some information for you. Come! I got knowledge for you. I got understanding for you. Come! 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 And people just keep walking by, going shopping, not paying any attention. And wisdom is saying, I can't believe this. I'm yelling at you. I'm screaming at you. I'm making a fool of myself for you. Okay, wait and see. Because you haven't heard. So today, God is bringing wisdom to you. God is using Pastor Don and myself to throw wisdom at you. I pray that you hear it. I pray that you receive it. Don't keep shopping. Don't look at those Nikes and say, oh, man, I love these Nikes. No, stop. Put the Nikes down. Listen to wisdom. Because we're going to talk about something today that's going to make some people feel uncomfortable. Hopefully it doesn't, but it may. We're going to talk about relationships. And this is what we're talking to the young people about, relationships. And there are like five types of relationships, five very important relationships that we all are going to have. Most of us are going to have at least four, and some of us are going to have five. I'm going to touch on the first two real quick because our real meat of this teaching is going to be on the last three. But there's five key relationships that you're going to have in your life. Number one is God. First and foremost, I really should stop and keep moving because you guys should know, right? Mark 12:30, love him with everything that you have. He needs to be our focal point. He needs to be the reason that we live, the reason that we breathe is God. I'm going to assume that you guys understand that, and I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but I need you to understand that that is the foundational point, like Jeff was talking last week. That's the undergirding. Everything is built upon your understanding of your uselessness without God. Your inability without God. I mean, to breathe. You can't even breathe without God. You know? Nothing. I remember watching this movie, The Matrix, and they were fighting inside The Matrix, you know, when he was trying to train Neo how to fight. And at the end of one battle, I think either he was breathing hard or he was bleeding or whatever. And what's the guy's name? Mordecai, whatever his name. He said, you think that's real? That's air that you're breathing? It's like, you think that this ability to breathe is our own? No, man. No. God gives us the ability to breathe. God breathed life into us. And because of that, we can breathe. But yet we walk around thinking, you know what I'm saying, it's all on us. So like I said, I'm not going to spend too much time on that because God's, he's the foundation, the bedrock of everything that we're going to talk about today. Okay? The second relationship is your marriage, your spouse. Now, I know I got some young people in here who are probably not married. I pray marriage over you in due season. The right ones. The right ones in due season, of course. What'd you say? Oh, you're okay. But listen. Even if you don't get married, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just speaking in terms of marriage, that this is a very significant relationship. In fact, the first relationship that we read about in the Bible is between whom? No. God and man. And the second relationship that we read about is Adam and Eve. So this is a foundational, it transcends any other relationship other than the relationship with God. Right? And this is a pivotal, extremely important, extremely significant relationship, a relationship that you're going to have in your life. So much so that the enemy knows it and attacks it at every turn. Every chance the enemy gets, he tries to attack the family, tries to attack the marriage. And I could rattle off some stuff. My kids who are around me know what I listen to and what I read, and they know I can give you some stats. I won't do it right now. But just trust me when I tell you that the marriage has been and forever will be, as long as we're on this earth, under attack. And you got to know that that is the second most important relationship that you have in your life, if you're married. And you need to... go ahead. Have that.
Okay. I'm going to tell you what marriage is, why they're under attack, and what the attack usually is, which you probably don't recognize. Okay, so everybody who is married and wish that... No, I can't say it that way. Nobody will stand up. Okay, everybody who's married and wish it was as perfect as you thought it was before you got married, stand up. There we go. Okay. Because this is what the enemy has done. The enemy always gives you some kind of pie in the sky type of picture that, oh my God, all I need to do is find my mate. And then after that, my mate is going to fulfill me. So what you actually thought and agreed to is that your mate is your savior. That was good, wasn't it? Okay, so now I want you to say this. Say, Father, I am sorry that I had expectations that my mate could fulfill the need in my heart. So I ask you to forgive me, and I release them from being my savior, but I accept them for being my helpmate and for operating in the role that you have given them. And so I am free from causing them to be something they're not, and they are free from false responsibility. And I receive the fullness of how you ordain marriage in your name. Amen. Okay, continue.
Pastor Don, good stuff. Hey, I'm going to say this and I'll move on. Do you know that they did studies of successful people? You know, like they took the most successful people, whatever that percentage is, and they interviewed them, and they compiled data and stats and whatnot. And do you know, like, on balance, the most successful people, whether they're Christians or non-Christians, there's, like, a couple of things that they have in common at the very top. And the number one thing is that they're married. Is that they're married. God knew what he was doing. It wasn't by accident. That's just one fact that I throw out there. There's so many other things I could tell you, but there is something about being a power couple, about working in unity, about being one and moving as one. There's like, it's indestructible. But I'll put that to the side in a second. Let's move on. Relationship number three. Don't squirm. Don't squirm. It's Pastor Don already alluded to it, but it's the pause in your life. In fact, I wanted to pass out paper, and if you got any paper as I'm talking, take some notes on this, okay? In fact, I'm going to tell you, today I'm not going to spend a lot of time on scripture. I might point to a couple of scriptures, but for the most part, I'm just going to pour out of this well that God has filled up, okay? But I do want you to consider this. Who are the Pauls in your life? Okay? Now, listen carefully, because I think you're going to be quickly say, okay, Pastor Don's the Paul in my life, you know, or so-and-so's the Paul in my life, or so-and-so's the Paul in my life, right? But I want you to really understand what it means to have a Paul in your life. I really want you to comprehend what it means. Because this is where people squirm. This is when I began. I started with Proverbs chapter 1 intentionally. I talked about wisdom intentionally because I knew that this particular part of the teaching was going to make some people uncomfortable. And I wanted to brace you. I just wanted to comfort you and shroud you in some comfort ahead of time as I spoke about this. If a person is in your life and you think that they're Paul in your life, but you will not seek them for advice, you will not listen to their counsel, you will not submit to them, they're not a Paul in your life. They are absolutely not a Paul in your life. A Paul is not a peer. You could write that down if you want to. A Paul is not a peer in your life. Listen, I remember one of the things that I came from church. I went to a big church. When I say big, you know, 800 to 1,000 people. In that big church, it ended up fracturing. And thank God it fractured when we were out of state for a few years. But when we came back, one of the elders of that church started his own church. And he and his wife were like spiritual parents to us. So we went to their church and we stayed there for a long time until we came here. And I remember when I came here, even when I was hiding in the shadows and trying to play the background, it's like, yo, I just me, myself, and I don't want to be down with nobody, you know what I'm saying? I just need to, you know, take care of myself, me and my family. But I remember being in awe of the structure of Liberty. I remember seeing like, wow, man, this is a team. This is a team. This is like, and look, I promise you, she doesn't know what I'm going to say, but this is from my heart. There was order. They loved Pastor Don. The team around her loved her. Listen. Her team was so good that I realized, because I was an elder at the church that I was before, I realized that I was terrible as an elder. Stunk. Thank you. I stunk as an elder. I was terrible as an elder. Terrible. I made my Paul sigh. I was terrible. And it took me coming here and seeing true Timothy's, and I realized, oh my goodness, man, I missed it. Thank God I didn't miss it. But I realized, like, wow, man. And then I got to know Pastor Don after a while. And when I got to know Pastor Don, guess what? She's got Paul's in her life. Oh my goodness. That broke it open for me. I was like, it's one thing to stand up here and say, honor me, honor me, honor me, and you don't honor anybody for yourself. But it's another thing when you got people in your life that you're honoring and that you're submitting to and being subjective to. Now you're walking it out. In fact, she brought up Paul when she was talking to Timothy and said, hey, you see me walk it out. You see me be an example in your life. Right? So now you are free. Now I release you because now I know you can get it done. And I've seen Pastor Don. I've seen her. Before I even saw her, I saw her people, which told me so much about her. But then I saw her, and I was like, okay, I need to break myself down. I fall on the rock, and I'm crushed. Do what you will. Do what you want with me. Everything that I thought was right was wrong. What I thought was gain was rubbish. I had it wrong. I understood the importance of honor. I understood the importance of having someone in your life that will speak into your life from a position of authority. Where even when I disagree, just by the fact that I'm in unity and submission, it's no longer a burden on me, it's a burden on her or on them. In Hebrews it says, like, look, man, the leaders in your life have to give an account. It's a totally different accounting system than the accounting system that we're under. Totally different. We get to screw up our lives. But if they screw up our lives, it's a higher penalty. It's a higher standard. So who's the Paul in your life? Who are you willing to disagree with but still obey? Listen, I'll say that again because she just said, you know, thank you, Pastor Don. But who are you willing to disagree with and still obey? I remember, I lost it. But Paul is essential in your life. If you read the letters of Paul, and I beg you, go read his letters. Some of the words that he used to describe the churches, it was as if it was his own children. It's like he cried over them. He longed to be with them. He prayed over them. He agonized and ached over them. That's a Paul. He took it personally. Not something that he was checking off a list. I'm painting a picture for you because you may have some Pauls in your life that aren't really Pauls. You may lift somebody up that really shouldn't be lifted up. And then you may have some people that should be Pauls in your life that you've disregarded and you've had no, you know, like, I'm not willing to follow. I'm not willing to follow. It's me, myself, and I. I'm doing my own thing. I was ironing my shirt this morning, and God said this to me. He said, what's the point of having a meaningful life, yet having a life with no meaning? A meaningful life, but a life with no meaning. And what he was trying to say is, you could be doing everything right, quote unquote. Everything right. Everything can look rosy and perfect, but you're dead inside. And you're not fulfilling what God truly had planned for you. You're not living out your destiny. So to the world you have meaning, but to God it's meaningless. It's going to go in the fire and burn. And I'm telling you, with love, that these relationships that we're talking about will bring meaning to your life. They will help you stay on track. They will make sure that you're pointing north always. And having a Paul in your life is essential. Absolutely essential. You want to jump in? I think this is you. This is you right now.
Right now I release an awakening, and that your eyes are opening up to the Pauls that God has put in your life. There may be more than one Paul. You come to this church, I hope you understand that I am the spiritual head of this church, and I hope you'll allow me to speak into your life. But I have several Pauls in my life, and they have each deposited inside of me different things that I needed to be the whole. But in every instance, I submitted to my pastor, and I submitted to those that they approved of. Just say. You need to be under one voice. And by that I mean not one voice. I mean people that are in agreement. Or else you can get so confused. And you can be torn because you can only have one head. You can have people that God has released in your life to help you in different areas. But you should always be under one voice. And so to show you how far I took that, most of you know that Esther Ilninski was my mentor from a long, many, many years before. But Bishop Rick Thomas was Pastor Rick before he was Bishop Rick. And before I submitted myself to Esther mentoring me, I went to Bishop Rick and said, do you know this lady? Because I want to have what she has. When I saw her, I slid off of the chair because of the anointing. And I said, God, I want that. But before I went to get that, I went to my pastor and said, and he goes, oh, I have a relationship with her and Pastor Bill. That is awesome. She is right up your alley, he said. She is the answer to the cry of your heart because you operate differently in the spirit than I do. Go get it. So I release that to you right now. That the Pauls that you need in your life are going to become a reality to you, that God will highlight who they are. But they will only work properly if you stay under authority. So I call you into proper authority and divine design in Jesus' name.
Listen, I encourage you to go into the Word and read in Acts, the writer of Acts, I think it's chapter 13, spoke about the Bereans and said, like, he spoke highly of the Bereans because they were unlike the Thessalonians who just listen. But the Bereans, they listened and they went back to the Word and they studied it out to know that it was true. I'm telling you that if you want this to be anchored in you, you need to go back to the Word and prove out what we're saying to you. I got a friend of mine that's sitting here right now. I won't embarrass him. But every once in a while, he challenges me when I say things and sends me emails, say, hey, Are you sure about this? And I was like, I love it. I love it because it's iron sharpening iron. It's making sure that I'm always on point. So guys, get into your word. Okay? I love you, Pastor Don. You're my mentor forever. Timothy. My shorties need to know this, right? There's two reasons why we're around, right? If you don't know what your calling is, if you don't know what your calling is, that's nonsense, because everybody has the same two basic callings. What are they? To be discipled and to disciple. To follow Jesus and to make followers of Jesus. Everything else is tent making. Tent making. Tent making. Tent making. Everything else. You need to get this. Tent making meaning a means of making a living. Thank you, baby girl. A means of making a living. That's what tent making is. Everything else. Our true purpose in life. Our true purpose in life. I mean, look, it makes sense. Go back to the garden. Just go back to the garden. His purpose was to worship God. That's never changed, and it will never change. It's always to worship God. And as the offsprings came, it was to redirect them towards God. Think about Cain and Abel. They were already worshiping God on their own by the time they entered the scriptures. And sacrificing to God on their own, because they were redirecting them to worship God. To know him and to make him known. To follow him and to make followers. So I ask you guys, who are the Timothys in your life? Who are the Timothys in your life? Who are you pouring into? She read that scripture in 2 Timothy 2:2, talking about passing it on to the next generation. You know, I've given you, now you pass it on. So you come here every Sunday, every Sunday, every Wednesday. You know, you're here every time the lights go on. And you're receiving, and you're growing, and things are stirring up in you. But now, are you keeping it to yourself? Or are you releasing it? We are called. This relationship is essential. Matthew 28:18-19 tells us that we are to go and make disciples. It implores us. It's a command. It wasn't go and make salvations. It wasn't go and save the world. No, it was go and make followers. A follower is a disciple. Timothy was a perfect example of what a disciple looks like. Listen, by the time Paul met Timothy, so I'm going to paint different scenarios for you, but I'm going to give you this picture about Timothy. By the time he met Timothy, Timothy was already, he was a young man, teenager probably. Paul was already seasoned, already went on, this is his second missionary tour, ran into Timothy's mom and grandma, got introduced to Timothy. He saw the potential in Timothy. And Timothy, what's interesting is that Timothy being young, how many young people right now, if I said, hey, grab your hands, come with me, stick to my hip, because I'm going to show you the things of God. Put down your joystick. Lay down your YouTube. All these other things that are capturing your mind, lay them down and come and follow me. Like Elijah to Elisha and throwing his mantle over him. That's the relation that we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who is willing to follow your lead and understand their ranking in the hierarchy. That wasn't trying to muscle you out of the way and get up front. But was willing to humble themselves and say, okay, do you want me to go get your coffee? What do you want for breakfast? Do you need some water? Let me go grab your Bible. Are you following me? Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? Because the reason I'm going through this for you is because you may think you have a Timothy in your life and they're not really a Timothy. Because if they're not willing to submit to you, they're not a Timothy. They should be a Timothy, right? But things are out of order, and you got to get that back into alignment, and you got to get it back into alignment quickly. Because the blessings pour down from the top down. When the Bible describes the anointing and how it goes from the head to the face to the beard and all the way down, there's a reason why he's being this descriptive. It was analogous to the blessings flowing from heaven to earth to head all the way down. Timothy's are willing participants in the discipleship process. Willing participants. But also, Timothy's grow. Timothy's grow. If Pastor Donnie did an exceptional job showing the growth and the language in which Paul speaks about Timothy in his writings. Do you know that Timothy is credited for co-authoring a lot of the books that we give Paul credit for? And I don't even think he wrote it, but Paul acknowledged this Timothy as co-writing it. Paul did. And we're talking about a little shorty man that he met through his mom. You know, we're talking about you guys, the Sarahs and the Jessicas of the world. Yes, you too. Yes, I meet you through your mom and your dad. I'm like, hey, do you want to come under my wing? And you're like, yeah. And then 10 years later, I'm giving him credit for my sermons. I'm telling you, that's how it was. They're willing to submit, and they will grow under your tutelage. Those are Timothy. Those are vital. So when he says, go and make disciples, and when I say he is a capital H, when Jesus says, go and make disciples, that's what he was talking about. That's what he was talking about. Who are the Timothys in your life? Listen, are you even willing to have a Timothy in your life? Let's talk about that for a second. Are you even willing to invest your time? Hey, because here's another word that, there's two words at our retreat that kept coming over and over again no matter what we were teaching. One was wisdom, and the other one was intentionality. You have to be intentional with your Timothys. You have to be intentional and say, look, I know I want to watch the basketball game, but you know what? This is a great opportunity for me to speak into that person's life. And I don't care if it takes me half an hour. I don't care if I miss the whole game. So what? God ordained this time. I'm gonna take it with everything I have and pour into this person. Are you willing to sacrifice? Listen, if there's anything that we know about the Christian lifestyle, it's a lifestyle of sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Over and over again, it's sacrifice. And the greatest sacrifice that we've seen was Christ first coming to earth, first leaving his mantle and his throne and coming down here. And then while he was down here, living like a man. I mean, just consider that for a second. Living like a man. Okay, I got to give you a visual because I don't think you guys are going to appreciate what I'm going to say. I need two volunteers. So I need, okay, Mighty, stand up for where you are. And Trent, stand up where you are. Okay, so you see these two persons, right? We sometimes make the mistake of saying, okay, we have God, right? I'm just going to use Trent because she's closest to me. And then we have the enemy. No, 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 no. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. And we have the enemy, right? And when you look at these people, no, there's a reason. No, there's a reason. 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 I love that. I love that teamwork. You know what I'm saying? I love that. I love that. But there's a reason why I made these two stand up, because they're pretty much the same size. You know what I'm saying? Kind of same height, same weight, you know, and they look kind of equal, right? And we think that we have a God and an anti-God, and this is how it is, right? Okay, have a seat. Thanks, guys. How many of you guys can see this bottle cap? Yeah? Can you see it? Some of you guys need some glasses. I got it. I understand. It's pretty small. If I could find something smaller, I would, but this bottle cap will do. Okay? This bottle cap represents everything that you know. Everything. That includes yourself, your family, your city, your state, your country, your planet, your solar system, your universe. Everything is represented in this bottle cap. Except for God. Because, of course, God is holding it in his hands. And the enemy is in here, too.
Yeah.
Let that marinate for a second. I want you to get an appreciation for the size of our God. I mean, we have it twisted. We got the enemy has been playing tricks on our minds and thinking that we got a co-equal, you know what I'm trying to say, when it comes to the, no, man. You know what I'm saying? No, man. No. We have a huge, humongous, magnificent, immeasurable God. The universe can't even contain him. Can't even contain him. He's in it and he's out of it. He built this for us. What we know, he built for us, for our pleasure. But there's going to be a time where we're going to live outside of this with him. That's our God. Don't allow the enemy to rattle you, make you think otherwise, because it's a lie. It's a lie. That's all he does. From the moment he opens his mouth, he's just lying. You ready to jump in?
I want you.
Okay, what do you need, man? Come on, guys, stand up. You're under authority. Let's go. Okay. Okay. So follow me, guys. We're gonna repent, even myself, because I fall in this trap also. But we're going to repent now before our God. So just follow me. Abba, Father, I understand that I've seen you as a small God. And that is totally wrong. And I am totally sorry.
I repent now
before you, before the congregation of heaven. Before my brothers and sisters, I repent now before you and ask for your forgiveness. Help me to see you as you really are. You are who you are. You are huge. You are magnificent. You are wonderful. You are ginormous. Gigantic. And we love you. And you know who I am.
And you know who I am.
And for that I'm grateful.
And for that I'm grateful.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Again? Okay, so that's Timothy. I'm not even sure why I gave you that example of God. Okay. So we got let's review a second, because I'm bringing it to a close. We talked about God, most important relationship. We talk about your spouse, which some of you don't have yet, but you will. We talk about Paul's. We talk about Timothy's, right? And I hope you are writing down, not necessarily what I was saying, but who represent those relationships in your life, in your lives. Here's the last one. And I got to tell you something. This one right here, I believe out of all of the relationships, this is the one where the enemy has really tricked us and where we actually don't realize the importance of it. And that's a Barnabas. Barnabas. Let me talk to you a little bit about Barnabas. And I'm not going to tell you too much because I want you to go research it yourself. Be Bereans. But Barnabas was a gentleman who had impeccable character. In almost every instance that you read about Barnabas, there's a praise being spoken about him. In fact, his real name is not even Barnabas. His real name is Joseph. But the apostles nicknamed him Barnabas because it means son of encouragement. That Barnabas was such a good person that just him walking into the room changed the atmosphere. If you were feeling down, he lifts you up. He operated in that gift so much so that they re-nicknamed him and gave him a new name. That's how beautiful this guy is. Barnabas was also an apostle. He starts off as a regular person who just, hold on, let me back up. Barnabas could have and probably did walk with Jesus. Barnabas might have been one of the 70 that was out when he sent out the 70. He might have been one of them. The book of Mark, John Mark, that was his either cousin or nephew. He was related to him. He actually, in some circles, they believe he wrote the book of Hebrews, which at this point, you know, most people say it's unknown who wrote it. But for those who believe there's a writer out there, a known writer, they ascribe it to Barnabas. If you ever spent any time in Hebrew, for him to get any credit at all for that book, we're talking about a tall tree in the kingdom of God. Okay? Awesome, awesome man of God. But this guy, Paul, was a no good, dirty scoundrel. Terrible guy. Terrible guy. I mean, that dude, he was known. His name went before him, and not for good reasons. He was known as a person who was persecuting the church. The Jews were sending out other Jews to go capture converted Jews to bring them back and to beat them and put them in prison, and Paul was at the head of this. People died because of Paul. He was not a good person. He had his Damascus Road experience. Christ visited him. He had a life-altering experience that changed him. He started preaching the gospel immediately where he was. So much so that he had to escape. I mean, they had to be lured out of the city and to get away. This is all in the Bible. You can go read it yourself. He escapes, goes to Jerusalem because he knows that that's the epicenter of the new church. But guess what happens? He goes there and everyone runs from him. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with Paul, known as Saul at that time. They wouldn't even meet with him. Hey, a messenger comes. You open the letter. Oh, Paul wants to see me. Let's go. They just ran. They got out of there. They had nothing to do with Saul. You know, but he got converted. Nonsense. He's playing a trick on you. It's the enemy playing a trick on you. He's out for your head. Let's go. Guess who the only person was that received Paul? Barnabas. Barnabas, the son of encouragement. He was the only one that was willing to, only one of the apostles that was willing to sit with him, hear his story, believed his story, and brought his story back to the council and said, this is a true conversion. He was an advocate, a champion, a friend, a peer. look, even at this time, he was even, I mean, there were going to be peers, but even at this time, it was totally unclear because the whole council rejected Paul. And yet Barnabas reached out his hand and pulled him up. Paul's first assignment, if you will, as a pastor, as a leader of a congregation, you know who set that up for him? Barnabas. Antioch, which is now Turkey, was one of the first churches that were established outside of the Jewish stronghold. He went there, and he's like, couldn't believe the masses that were believing in Jesus. And he recognized, like, wow, I can't do this alone. So he left. First of all, Barnabas went because the church of Jerusalem sent him. The apostles of Jerusalem sent him. And he went there, saw what was going on, and instead of returning to Jerusalem and say, hey, this is more than I can handle, he went straight and found Saul and said, hey, I got some work for you. Come on. And the two of them ministered in Antioch and blew that church up.
So here's what's happening in the world right now. Some of you may be aware or not aware, but Kanye West came out, and at one point he said, I am God. Do you remember that? We were all horrified because, you know, we knew he wasn't God. He said he was. That's about as in your face as you can get against God. But now he has come out with a Christian album. And unfortunately, the Christian church and other people are having a hard time because of his past lifestyle. Now, this is a huge opportunity for us right now. See what happens? Because I have seen other people who have come out of the world, but because they were famous, people promote them so high. Like they go from being, you know, famous in the world, and because they were famous in the world and they get Jesus, they become famous in the Christian circles, or else they disdain them in the Christian circles. Both are equally wrong. Because Kanye West needs a Paul. He needs a Timothy. He needs somebody who's going to help him to be able to have a strong foundation. And instead of us doubting his salvation, he needs a Barnabas who's going to go sit by him and say, tell me your story. Because I have ears to hear. I'm going to help you. And I'm going to pour into you. And I'm going to come alongside of you because I believe that God can change anybody. And so we the church of the living God, who cry out for God's heart all the time, need to have his heart and his wisdom concerning these things. And so would you all stand and agree with me right now? So, Father God, we come right now. You say it too. Father God, we come right now. And Lord, we ask for the Kanye Wests that are in the world, that you are calling in into your divine place that you've preordained for them. And Lord, we ask for wisdom to come alongside of them. We ask for a Paul. We ask for a Timothy. We ask for a Barnabas. And we thank you, Lord, that you are adjusting our hearts right now. That you give us a heart to trust that you can rescue anyone, including us. And so, Father, we come with your heart, and we intercede for those who were lost and are trying to be found, that they will be secured by mature Christians. And we receive them. And we pray for them. And we hold on to them. That they will be a sign. And they will be a wonder. And that they can become a Paul too. And we thank you for the transformation of many. We call them out of darkness into your light right now. We say we're ready to receive them. We will love them. We will train them. We will encourage them. We will stand by their side. And we will help them to mature into who you've always seen them to be. And we thank you, Lord, for adjusting all of us to notice any of them in our midst, or any of them in our neighborhoods, or any of them in the marketplace. And that, Lord, you will give us the heart, your heart, and the heart of Barnabas, that we are willing to serve and to see through spiritual eyes. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
One, two, one, two. Hey, can you give me this one? How about me? Yeah, me? Good. Good word, Pastor. That was good. Thank you, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Look, the Barnabas in your life, we are living our lives without Barnabases. We think that it's acceptable to live our lives without Barnabases. And, Shino, can you give me a little bit more volume? We are living our lives thinking that it's acceptable without Barnabases, and that's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Listen, let me just tell you a little bit about the Barnabases in my life. Okay? How much am I going to share? Let me just say this. And I've already got this pre-approved from Janice, so don't feel bad for Janice, because she already knows where I'm going with this. But there are times where I'm just not happy with Janice. Okay? Where I'm just, you know, I'm in my own little funk, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, oh! But I got people in my life. And yes, I have Pauls, you know that. And of course I have Timothy's. But I got Barnabases in my life where I can go to them and say, oh, Janice, fill in the blank. And they will say, okay, but you're wrong. But she does. Okay, but you're wrong. Okay, I hear you, but you're wrong. And I would be like, okay, I'm wrong. And then we'll pray. And I'll get words of encouragement and words of wisdom spoken to my life so that I can go back home, you know, and hold and embrace my wife. And apologize and let her know that she means everything to me and that I was wrong. I have those guys in my life. I have them in my life. And listen, it's not easy having him in your life. It's not easy having someone tell you that you're wrong when everything in you is saying that you're right. It's not easy. It's not easy humbling yourself and carving out time to pray. I have friends that I pray with. We get together just to pray. It's not easy. There's a sacrifice involved in this. But I can tell you, I would not be standing here today if I didn't have Barnabases in my life. I promise you, I would not be standing here today. because they sharpened me. They kept me focused. They redirected me when I thought I was facing north. I said, oh, no, Steve, you know, now you're facing north. This is essential, guys. This is essential. And the enemy has told us that we can go it alone. The enemy has told us that we don't need any friends. Look, I take that back, because it's not friends that I'm talking to you about. Although your Barnabas is your friend, not all friends are Barnabases. Not all friends are Barnabases. Not all friends will speak the word of God into your life. Not all friends will tell you the truth, even when it hurts, even when you don't want to hear it. And they'll still love you through it. Listen, that example I gave you about, it really happened. Probably more than once. And it took several rounds before I relented and the Spirit of God was able to work in me. And I was able to say, yes, I'm wrong. I see it now. It takes a true Barnabas to be able to do that. It's one of the most important relationships, and yet I fear that in this system of our church is the one that's lacking the most. We're caught up in our family, caught up with our wives, our children, our jobs, you know, our ministry. You can fill in the blanks. But if you really want to hit the high mark, if you really want to go where God intended you to go, you need to have a Barnabas in your life. At least one. And even now, as I'm speaking, play in your head, who's that Barnabas in your life? Some of you might have thought you had a Barnabas and realized, oh man, he or she doesn't add up. Some of you might realize you don't have a Barnabas, but realize, like, man, this person was supposed to be my Barnabas, but I keep fading him or her. I'm not spending any time. I'm not returning the phone calls. And some of you might have absolutely no clue. So right now, stand up. Stand up. Remember, I started this off by saying wisdom was crying out. Wisdom was crying out. And Lord, I just pray that wisdom reaches each and every person here exactly where they're at. Exactly where they are. Hit the mark, Lord. But we're going to pray right now for Barnabas to come alive in your life. That he will reveal that person to you, those persons to you. And that you will be willing to be intentional towards that end. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
Don't pray, prophesy.
Prophesy? Wow. Okay. Abba, Father, right now I declare, Lord, that every person here at the sound of my voice, Lord, will have a Barnabas in their life, that you will reveal right now in their hearts, in their minds, who the Barnabases are in their life right now, Lord. The ones they faded, the ones that they've turned away. Lord, that you will reveal it right now, Lord, right now. I speak it into existence right now. And Father, for the ones who do not know who that Barnabas is, Lord, it's okay because you have them in the palm of your hand and you will reveal it to them. Father, I pray that they will have an open heart. They'll be open to the reality of the need of a Barnabas in their life. That they will no longer reject it, but they will embrace wisdom and they will embrace this truth. Father, I declare that we will be a people. That we will be a people that will follow through on this. That we will be a people that will have Barnabases, that will have Timothys, that will have Pauls, Lord. That we will be a different church. There will be the church that actually will be the church, that will move like the church, that will speak like the church. that people will recognize that we are different and they will be drawn to it because of your Holy Spirit. I prophesy this, Lord. I speak it out. I speak it out, Lord. Go with it, Lord. Let it not return void. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, just to close and add a little bit to that is that, you know, I know that he prayed that out, prophesied that out, and I believe that God's going to open your eyes. I also believe with all of my heart you have to be willing to receive them. So some people don't receive who God is bringing to them because you don't have the same personality. Okay? So, Herbert, sorry, I'm going to use you as an example, but Herbert is one of those who doesn't quit. He has a telephone call that he prays with people on the phone, and how long have you been doing that? 13 years, and he sometimes has, and mostly has, less than one handful of people that are on that line in agreement with him. He's still doing it for 13 years. That is somebody that you can count on. He also went after men in this congregation, and he wouldn't let them go. He's like, relationship, relationship, it's about relationship. And most men don't want to be open about relationship. They want to be cool. They don't want to be vulnerable. But he won't settle unless you're vulnerable. He does the same thing to his wife. He does the same thing to all of us. And so there are those people. And everybody has a different way of approach. Everybody has a different way of thinking. And that is exactly how God intended it. Because what you need is iron sharpening iron. And if you don't allow the people that you don't like, everybody wants to be with the people they're familiar with. Well, I'm a D. I want to be with D people. That means, you know, aggressive leaders. I want to hang out with the leaders. Well, if you're a leader, you need to hang out with a servant. Because you need that rubbing off on you all the time. You know, the phlegmatic people, those are the ones who, like, they never get upset about anything. Are you upset? No, why would I be upset? And it's their nature not to be upset. If you got a problem with anger, you need someone who has that in their life that doesn't even know how to be upset. I remember when Ryan Hamilton had cancer. Little boy had cancer. I don't even know if you know his testimony. And I went to Rich and I go, Rich, are you upset? And he goes, why would I be upset? I went, dear God, you're better than me. I was upset. I mean, like, the kid had cancer. He was going through operations. And he goes, yeah, but my God is bigger. He didn't even know how to be upset. He still doesn't know how to be upset. He's just one of those guys. You've got to look for the people that are not just like you. If you want to grow, you got to be with people who are different than you so you can grow. And it may not be, you know, the people that you would intentionally choose. And that's why you're missing your pulse. I'm not for everybody, especially John MacArthur. Just had to throw that out there. I'm not for everybody, but I am somebody's Paul. You are somebody's Paul. I am somebody's Timothy. You are somebody's Timothy. I am somebody's Barnabas, and you are somebody's Barnabas. So you need to accept your role, and you need to look for those that are fulfilling that role in your life. Amen? So, Father God, we just received this word today, Lord. We thank you that you are lodging this on the inside of you, of all of us, Lord. That we are responding to it properly, that we are receiving it properly, Lord, and that our eyes are open, that we are receiving who you have sitting even in our midst, Lord, And those that we need to reach out to outside of this circle. And God, I thank you that today is a shift in the spirit realm. Today is the time that you have preordained for this to occur. Today is the day that we let down our guard and we don't straddle the fence on what we are willing to do. But Lord, we receive those into our lives that we are supposed to receive. And Lord, we give out that which we are supposed to give out. We welcome people into our circle. And we enlarge our tent pegs now in Jesus' name. Everybody in agreement, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good stuff? Are you guys receiving it? Amen. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for your name. We thank you for watching over your word. We glorify your name. We thank you for the great worship that we have inside of our worship leaders and inside of all of us. And we intend to worship you foremost in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. I love you. But who do we love the most? And who loves us the most? And who loves them the most? All right, go find your Pauls, your Timothys, your Barnabases, and you are dismissed.